Welcome back to another episode of All Else Equal.
So this episode is a little different. Every semester, both Jason and I get a bazillion questions about major and career discernment, in particular about econ versus finance, well, at least me. So we decided to call up the master, Allison Levy.
Yeah, Allison is a Notre Dame alum and was the Associate Director of Academic Services at Notre Dame for more than 10 years. She's helped thousands, literally thousands of students discover their passions over that time.
So now Allison currently has two jobs. She's both a children's book author and a podcaster. She hosts the podcast Open Book Test, where she talks and reconnects with Notre Dame alumni in the hopes of helping current students get through this major and discernment process.
She sounds like the perfect person. Let's call up Allison. Hey, Allison, thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for asking.
All right, so maybe we could just start with, you know, since like discernment is your jam, like could you give us some like general rules of thumbs or heuristics for like, when you give students advice on or advising on like major or career discernment, like where do you start?
Yeah, so big topic, but I guess there are probably like three things I would start with. And I think the first one is know what you're ruling out. You know, we see prospective students come through and they have a major on their name badge when they're here just looking at the university. And sometimes they know it's a placeholder, but I fear that all too often students they lock in early on that, and then they start self-selecting out of the things that would actually help them make a really informed choice. Because, you know, we're asking them as parents and admissions officers to know and to focus in before we really give them enough time to explore and to learn. And our students like certainty, right? That place of being uncertain about your future is a really terrifying place to be. And I think especially in places like Notre Dame, where so many of the students seem like they've got it all figured out. So the students who don't really want to admit that. And then I would say the next thing is make sure you're talking to the right people. As Jason knows, you can't go 5 feet without tripping over a finance major on our campus because it is the biggest major, I think. But you could go 4 years and never meet a management consulting major. And those finance majors are going to have no shortage of opinions about the other majors, but they are just opinions. So you want to make sure you're talking to the students, the professors, and the recruiters about those other majors that you might be interested in so that you're getting really valid information. And then I guess the last thing I would say, especially for students at the very front end of this discernment process, is that understand that while there are some really well-worn paths, there are limitless options, you know? So just using a non-business example, like if you love science, people will often say to a high school students, you love science, you should be a doctor. And the first half of that sentence is undoubtedly true. The second half is limiting, right? If you love science, there are lots of things you can be besides a doctor, but sometimes they get so far down that path that then they either feel like they can't change or that changing is somehow quitting as opposed to just evolving. So there are lots of different data points that you want to triangulate because you might love science because you had the world's best high school science teacher. So you want to look at what are the careers, what is the content, and if you're good at math, for instance, yes, you could be a great engineer. You could also be a great finance major. You could also be a good marketing major because it's a lot of analytics. So I guess not getting too fixated on that one data point and giving yourself the space to explore is what I would say is most important.
In terms of specific advice, the first thing you said sounded a lot like freshmen or, you know, people that are at Notre Dame and are trying to make this discernment decision should in some sense embrace the uncertainty, that you should be okay with like not having pinned down exactly what your career or major trajectory are, especially at the beginning. I get the feeling that like that stresses a lot of students out, especially in a place like Notre Dame where people really seem to like at least portray themselves as like really kind of like having a very clearly defined goal and like actionable steps in order to reach that goal, et cetera, et cetera. I just would be kind of curious to know, like, what do you think about in terms of like reducing the stress of that uncertainty? Like, how do you embrace the uncertainty without being stressed out and like scared about the future if you're a student?
Yeah, so I think a lot of that comes from doing the things that will help you make that decision. So going to the info sessions that are offered by the various departments or by the Career Center and really learning about your other options. And I think even if you're pretty set on, oh, I want to be a finance major, going to an info session on business analytics will help you decide, oh yeah, I really don't like that. Like it's another option, but it's good that I've rejected that one and it's making me feel more comfortable with the decision that I've made. And I guess I would also go back to like talking to the right people. I used to say when I was an advisor that part of my job was just helping students remember to breathe, right? That they could come into my office, they could voice those uncertainties that they didn't really want to share with their friends because that would somehow make them feel less or not as, you know, they all came from being the stars of their high school class. And then they show up at Notre Dame where they are just like everyone else. And in some cases, not as smart or not as talented in any particular area. And that is a crazy humbling place to be. So finding people who can remind you that you are still the same very talented human that you were before you stepped onto this campus and you are going to figure it out, I think is important. So finding those people who can give you that feedback and that, you know, it's advising offices, it's professors, it's campus ministry, your rector. I mean, there are millions of quote unquote adults on campus that can be that sounding board for you and help you feel more comfortable as you work through all that uncertainty to get to a place where you're really going to be happy, which is the ultimate goal, as opposed to just making a choice and locking in because it feels good at that moment, but it leads you down a path that is ultimately not going to make you happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I see this a lot. And I think that students see this well-worn path. They have maybe some sort of survivorship bias that they're seeing only a few students and a few data points that have traverse this very well-worn path, and they immediately feel like they are going to be behind if there's any type of discernment. And, you know, I know Forrest and I do as much as we can to alleviate that stress. And so would you recommend students just kind of going into their advisor, going into their rector and just having these conversations?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I would have the opportunity to have one of these deeper conversations with a student, one of the things I would say when they would leave would be like, have 100 of these conversations, right? Someone's going to say that thing that really resonates with you. And all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and it all kind of clicks and falls into place. So don't be afraid to share kind of what's going through your head. And it doesn't mean you're not smart. It doesn't mean you don't have it all figured out. It means you're in college and part of that process is discernment and trying to figure out what resonates and really paying attention to which classes am I loving? What homework do I always do first? What am I searching for? And then sharing that information too, right? I really like the classes where we do X. What does that tell you about what I might like as a major? You know, I think giving your advisors a little more to work with and because they've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of students and had these conversations. So they just may be a lot more aware of options than the students would be themselves. So yeah, I think it's really important to talk about it.
Yeah, I was very shy as an undergrad in terms of like reaching out to people to talk, you know, the purported adults in the room, whether they're, you know, professors or advisors or things like that. And it's one of the things that like, I really appreciate the students that are willing to send me emails or willing to reach out and say, hey, you know, I had a student the other day that asked me, could you put me in touch with a couple of grad students in the economics department just so I could kind of talk with them about like what a PhD program would look like. And we've already had some of these conversations before. And he kind of just like went out of his way just to like ask me about these things independently. And I appreciate the initiative. And you know, the students here are so thoughtful and think so carefully about these things. Like I feel like if we could somehow like reduce the inertia between or whatever frictions exist between like professors and students more, like that everybody would kind of be in a better place because of that. Could I ask you specifically, so I'll typically get the question about econ versus finance, where it's, you know, freshmen come in, they say like, you know, should I do Mendoza finance or should I do econ? I like economics, but like, I don't want to close the doors to something like investment banking or something like that. How would you give like actionable advice to students on like how to start that process?
Yeah, we got that question a ton. And we have a lot of students on campus that major in both. You know, they do finance and econ. That's a very common combo. But I do think the same companies that hire finance majors hire econ majors. So it's really more about what you enjoy studying. One of the distinctions I heard was that finance is a little more applied and econ is a little more theoretical. Those are like words an advisor says, but I don't really have any personal experience with either. Actually, I should say I actually was a finance major. I was a really bad one. So I'm always, I'm like everyone's cautionary tale. Like, don't do what I did, but let me tell you how you should go about this, because I did learn a few things in the process. But so I feel like between those two, it's really take a few classes, figure out what you're enjoying, and then they both have very similar paths. I think finance majors probably have a little bit of a leg up in terms of the recruiting, just because in Mendoza, talking about jobs and talking about careers is so much part of the fabric of the curriculum, even. I think our professors really focus on that. I'm not sure how true that is in econ. But yeah, that is a hard question that I'm not going to answer well, but I think that's okay. I would just say, really think about, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Jason about this as well. So the advice that I give is similar to yours, that, you know, look at the economic electives, kind of look at the ideas and principles of micro and macro. If you want to like study those ideas and learn more about those things, like that's what an econ major does. If you want to learn more about like applied, you know, theory and like just like, you know, the institutional details of finance, like you got to take finance classes. The only thing I say is like, if you want to do investment banking, like if that's your goal, and lots of students are like very gung ho about like, this is a prestigious job, this is what I want to do, I have to have my, you know, stuff together immediately so I can get an internship after my sophomore year, I tell them like you probably should be in Mendoza, like partly because of what you said, Allison, that like Mendoza does a very good job of like preparing students for particular tracks, career tracks.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I like to tell students, you know, when they're trying to discern between both things, you know, especially if they're already in Mendoza and they've taken principles of finance and they've taken principles of economics, asking them, what do they like the best about each class? And then if you could expand on one thing, what would you kind of expand on? And so the students who tend to talk about kind of the broader implications of economics instead of kind of the nitty gritty of kind of financial engineering, then I, you know, try to point that out to them and say, listen, it seems like you like to broadly apply economics and not narrowly define kind of how you're using these tools. And so that's, again, just another level of discernment, you know, what just asking students kind of what you like and what you like doing. And like Allison said, what's the first homework that you go to? Do you do your finance homework or do you do your econ homework? And I think those things, you know, they just need to be reminded of those small things.
I think a lot of them pick finance if they come to business because they liked econ in high school, right? That's the only sort of intro they've had to it. And then some of them find that, oh, they like the financial applied piece of it. And others find that they're just missing more of the econ as they get further down the path. I would also say econometrics is something of a deterrent for going towards econ. That seems to be
By that time, they're so committed.
Yeah, that's right.
you just got to take your medicine.
I don't like thinking of it like that. I love econometrics. I think that class is so important.
I agree too.
No, I was going to say, do say it's one of those things that once you get out into the work world, you find it's a big differentiator, but they don't necessarily love it while they're in it.
And actually, that's, you know, part of what they don't like about econometrics is that it's like less applied than I think a lot of people expect. Like it's a lot of theory. It's a lot of like statistical and econometric theory, and which seems like less directly applicable. Like I think what students want, you know, I've taught MBA students before, and like they want to like run regressions and they want to like say like, oh, this is statistically significant. And like,
yeah, they want to pull tools out of their toolbox.
Yeah. Right? And like, and it can be frustrating, I think, to like have to be reminded like, look, you got to kind of really have a nuanced understanding of like what you're doing. That way, like when you get out of here, you can do no harm, or at least you can know how to do no harm. Or
that's right. Like that. Yeah. That's why like med students go through, you know, years of like just training and understanding the core concepts of helping people instead of here's your scalpel, dive in. So
one thing that's come up is like, how much do you enjoy your homework? And like the ideas, that's one thing I'll tell people, like, think, you know, sort of think about like what ideas do you enjoy? Like what idea space do you want to be in for the 4 years while you're here? But then there's this separate concern of like, well, you got to get a job afterwards, or you got to go to grad school, or you got to do something afterwards, presumably. but how much weight do you put on like, how much do you enjoy what you are doing currently in your courses versus like, you know, post-graduation is a lot longer than the time you're going to be at Notre Dame. That you can make an argument for why you should be just sort of thinking dynamically and thinking about, okay, let me just put myself in the best position possible to do what, you know, whatever it is I think is going to be meaningful to me 4 years after Notre Dame.
So I think you put yourself in the best position possible when you decided to come to Notre Dame, right? The students that leave Notre Dame leave with a Notre Dame degree and the Notre Dame network and many, many, many doors open to them. They just need to figure out which doors they want to walk through. And I will say, if you don't enjoy something, it is a really hard slog, right? And you use up a ton of self-discipline just getting through the day. So in my opinion, that's no way to go through college. And as I mentioned, that might have been the way I went through college. So again, don't do what I did. And if you don't like studying something, are you going to enjoy the work? I mean, there's plenty of different variations in the work, but I think it's also somewhat telling that if you're not curious about and excited by the content of your classes, how interested are you going to be in a job in that arena? I also think enjoyment is a little bit tricky. Sometimes it's great content and maybe a professor who's a little bit dry. Other times it's a very dynamic professor and you actually don't really love the content. I mean, I used to say we had a lot of finance majors who loved Carl Ackerman, but didn't really love finance. You know, like they had this amazing experience in this one class. And so that colored their opinions on other things. And the only other thing I guess I would add was that students cross-pollinate all the time. We have finance majors who go into sales. We have marketing majors who end up working in something more tech-based. So your major doesn't have to decide what you do after college, especially I think at a place like Notre Dame. You know, we see plenty of students who get to senior year who are a little like, I'm not really loving this as much as I thought. And they can pivot. It takes a little more work. The paths aren't quite as linear, but they can figure out how to move into an area of a company that still utilizes all their analytical and critical thinking skills, but maybe isn't so focused on the particular discipline of their major.
I tell my students at the end of Principles of Micro, and these are like mostly freshmen, I'll say, look, like with all these classes, you're going to have like people's personalities, professors that like you like and you don't like. Like your job is like whether you hated me or whether you liked me, it's to like try and strip all of that away and just think about the ideas, think about like what you're gonna do after graduation. I have a former student who I loved that told me afterwards, 4 years down the road, he's like, yeah, you said that. And I ended up becoming an econ major, I think because you said that. And so like there's some sort of like reverse psychology or something Straussian about me. I'm trying to like
yes. It is a little terrifying how much
majors by telling them not to worry about these things.
Right. It's funny what becomes powerful, right? The things that are throwaway.
It is. It's like, it actually, it's a little, it's like humbling and a little bit scary that like,
you wield all this power
that we don't know
hundreds of
and
freshmen.
You don't know what's going to stick.
Yeah, that's right. So we've talked a lot about employers a little bit, you know, in the sense that they like to see the Notre Dame degree. They typically, you know, if, as long as you are a good problem solver and you're coming out of Notre Dame, doesn't really necessarily matter if you're econ or finance. But how much do you think, this is a question I get a ton, how much do you think employers, the average employer, really cares about kind of GPA maybe, or the extracurriculars that you're putting, you know, on your CV?
So I think they probably care too much, not so much from an outcome point. You know, I don't think it's a case of only finance majors will do well in this particular job. I think they care though, because they have to narrow the funnel of students that they're going to meet with. So they're picking some arbitrary parameters to just help, you know, give them a shorter list. So they say finance with a 3.5, and that's who we're looking at. So if you're not that, I don't think it's impossible for you to get an interview. I just think you have to work a little harder to make them notice you, go to all the meet and greets. And then I think this is important for arts and letters students in particular. I think you have to go sort of not apologetically like, oh, I know I'm not a finance major, but do you have 5 minutes? But go and say, hey, I'm an econ major and here's what I bring to the table and here's my story, and really just own it. Again, I think finance or business majors in particular have a little bit of a false sense of security that they know more, whereas I think sometimes arts and letters students doubt that they have the hard skills that they need, where I have to say of all the alums I've been talking to recently, they all say it's the softer skills and their people skills that have led to their greatest successes. And I think extracurriculars are a great differentiator, but you have to have a story that goes with it. It's not enough to say, oh, I'm in this club or I had this title. Like, what did you get out of it? How did it change you? What did you love about the experience? And make yourself sort of memorable in that conversation. One of my favorite pronouncements, I guess, when we speak about power, we were doing some study abroad workshops, and I was talking about study abroad being a great place to differentiate yourself and to really think about what cultures were you interested, what did you want to do with this? And I just stood in the front of the room and I very calmly said, because look, if you are a white male finance major with a second major in econ who did an SIBC project and went to London, you have differentiated yourself from absolutely no one. And it was hilarious because everyone who didn't fit that was, of course, falling on the floor laughing. And then there were all these wide-eyed white male finance majors who were like, wait, wait, what? And I was like, look, there's nothing wrong with any of those choices. But if you're 20th in line, but you know, if you're 20th in line talking to a recruiter, you have said nothing that makes you memorable. You look like all our other bright, shiny Notre Dame students. So don't be afraid to have that thing that you love to talk about that has nothing to do with the business world, but it's just something that makes you light up or shine.
That's great advice.
Yeah, we had a student, Forrest and I, a student who I'm going to shout out here, Adam Coulomb. And he was an English major on top of being an econ major. And he wore that badge very proudly. And I think, you know, he would always, it almost seemed like he was on the defensive, like, no, like the skills I learned as an English major put me, you know, above or you know, qualify me for doing a variety of different jobs. And I always loved listening to him talk about how he would use his English major to kind of leverage interviews and discuss, you know, why he was the best candidate for a job.
And he got a great job.
Yeah, he did.
With it combined, economics, research, and writing. So you'll hear a lot when people talk about higher education about like different models. Like one is like this like liberal arts, learn big ideas, learn how to critically think, like that sort of camp. And then there's one as like, well, you know, this is 4 years that you're spending a whole lot of money on. Like we want to make sure that you get a good job. So like a lot of what we should do is more vocational. And this is like me picking on Mendoza Finance, but like, it's more of like, look, we're gonna teach you skills and give you these resources so that you can do investment banking straight out of undergrad and work 110 hours a week because that's what everybody wants to do or something like that. Like how do you subscribe to like higher education as being like a place to explore critical ideas or more vocational, or, you know, is it more nuanced than that?
Yeah. So we used to get that all the time, right? Business is where the sellouts go. Business, it's all about the jobs. And that,
that's right.
You know, we would get that from parents that the minute when they were there for prospective meetings, they would be asking me about the job prospects for their students. And I was like, how about we just talk about what's going to happen in the next 4 years before we get carried away? But I mean, it's a very real concern, obviously, especially with the kind of tuitions that are out there these days. But I do think in Mendoza, there's, I mean, I think a lot of good critical thinking actually goes on in many of our business classes. I mean, there's certainly opportunities for developing all kinds of different skill sets. And it's also very broad, right? I mean, even though they have a major, they're getting a sampling of all kinds of different things, which I think serves them well once they get out into a company or a firm where they have kind of a broad understanding of all areas of business. And business majors in particular do take almost half their credits outside the College of Business. So plenty of opportunity there for them to develop the liberal arts critical thinking skills. So I think it's a little unfair to say that business students don't also have that skills. That said, I think you have to be somewhat intentional about developing those skills and not view your electives as just sort of those throwaway classes that you have to take to get to your 120 plus credits, and really also see those as vehicles toward, you know, building out your thinking processes and your various skill sets. So I think both ways can give you what you need to be successful. I think the cynical side of me has said in the past that business students are slightly more transactional about their education, right? Because it is serving getting a job as opposed to vice versa. So I think that's kind of the danger point, where you just want to be sure that you are actually trying to get an education as opposed to just checking the necessary boxes to get on to the next thing. And I think that probably happens more with business students who are a little more focused on the job than maybe in arts and letters, where education, they maybe made that choice because the education piece feels more important to them.
That's the knock on MBA students, is it like that they seem very transactional in the classroom. And like, I get it. If you're paying, you know, $130,000 for a 15-month education, like, you better be getting something out of it. I think a problem is like getting students to realize that there's a lot of value in like a liberal arts education. And even as I'm saying this, the cynical side of me is like, wait, there's a point of like a liberal arts education. I believe there is. I don't have like a great like evidence.
I hear this all, I listen to a bunch of, money managers, investors, and, you know, the question always comes up, you know, how do you become a really good money manager or investor? And every single person is like, well, read as much as you can, right? And not just in one specific topic, just read everything all the time. And like that, they're literally just describing a liberal arts education. They're saying, get a liberal arts education and understand how to critically think and be able to use, you know, what you've read to then, you know, be successful. And, you know, I try to tell students that, but there's like this self-referential cycle is that, you know, to get the internship, you have to take these classes. And so we give you these classes and what the internships are looking for. And then, you know, they're really good grads, so they come back to get the same grads. And so we keep, you know, giving them in this cycle, you know, very well-trained kind of interns. But we students have to remember that that's just the first step of maybe a multi-step process to get into the career they really want, and to not forget about there's other things you can do and read and learn about.
Right. I think there's some skills that are very transferable to pretty much any kind of job that you're looking for. I mean, the recruiters are looking to hire leaders, right? So it's good if you've led something. You don't have to lead a business club to be a good, you know, finance employee, but lead something you're actually interested in.
I do want to make one sort of note. You know, we're me and Jason are prone to say, well, you know, students should do this, students should do that. Like, it's also the professor's role to, like, if you're teaching a course, like, you should be blowing these kids' minds and making sure that you're making it explicit about like why this stuff is valuable. Why should you care about these ideas and things like that? You know, it's part of our job to like make sure that students understand, whether you're teaching 20th century Russian literature or, you know, principles of finance, that like, look, this stuff is meaningful. And, you know, And the only way like professors are going to do that is if they actually care about the stuff.
Right. I think students don't get a lot of context for it until pretty late in the game in terms of work experience. Mm-hmm. You know, most of our business students don't come in having had high school internships. That's not a thing, right? So I think it is important for the professors to be always telling them kind of where this fits in, because those aha moments for them are going to happen later. I will put a little bit back on the students though and say that they could be just a skosh more curious about it all and ask some questions and help the professors out a little bit. I've been in plenty of classrooms and situations where the professor says, "Any questions?" And they're all just looking at their watch saying, "Yeah, can we get out of here now?" So I think, you know, it's one of those things where you get out what you put in too. So you can't always be looking for someone else to feed it to you. You know, your job is not going to arrive on a silver platter at the end of your 4 years. You have to figure out what you want and you go after it. And I think Notre Dame in particular gives students so many resources and so many advantages in that department, but it still requires work. But if we could get them to a point where they're working very efficiently towards something they have, like if they would do the work earlier on the reflection and the discernment, I think they would spin their wheels less later on. And it's also, we've mentioned iBanking, you know, that's what finance majors do at Notre Dame, right? They go into iBanking, but there are a million other great jobs for finance majors. And I think sometimes they get so fixated on those very specific paths. And now all of a sudden those become crazy competitive because it's what everyone thinks they want and it's all anyone's going after. And yet if they'd done a little bit more work, they may have figured out, gee, iBanking's really not for me. And oh, by the way, there are these six other ways I could take a finance degree that actually feel really comfortable when I put them on and try them out. So I think there's some of that too. Like it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy of crazy competitive stress because they're all focusing in on just a couple paths.
I think that's a great place to stop.
Yeah,
Thanks
agree.
Thanks so much, Allison.
Yeah, Allison, that was great. I think the overall takeaway is students need to chill out a little bit.
Yeah. Right?
But also be intentional.
But intentional.
Yeah. Be intentional, especially at the beginning.
Right. Not be afraid to have, like to be vulnerable. I don't know. You guys probably don't listen to Brené Brown. She's one of my favorites. Actually, that was a very stereotypical sexist comment that just came out of my mouth. Sorry about that. but yeah, I mean, I think Notre Dame students don't like to be vulnerable. They don't like to admit that they're struggling. So I always think Notre Dame is a very hard place to struggle because no one looks like they are. But Forrest, you advise a bunch of students. Jason, I know you're incredibly popular, so I know you talk to a lot of our students. They're all struggling with something, and they should be, right? They're figuring out a lot of big things, but they can't deal.
Well, good. That's a good way to play the stop.
That's it. I think Forrest is going to be a finance major now.
Thanks again, Allison.
No, this is great. Thanks so much for having me on.
That was great getting a chance to talk to Allison.
Yeah, we'll put up a link to her podcast, The Open Book Test, in the podcast description. You can also find it on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you normally find your podcasts. We highly recommend it for Notre Dame undergrads involved in career or major discernment.
And so that's pretty much everyone.
That's right.
So thanks for joining us for another episode of All Else Equal. As always, if you'd like to suggest a question or topic, feel free to email Jason or I at allelseequalpodcast@gmail.com.